Hello, everybody. It's Mistral23 back with another live stream. The format of this is just like a ordinary video, I guess, because I was going to do a video on this topic earlier this week and just upload it yesterday, but I decided to just wait until tonight for the weekly live stream. And I say weekly live stream, but I don't always do it every week. But when I do a live stream, it's at this time. About Friday evening. So I guess I could wait just a little bit for somebody to come on, for somebody to watch. I'll wait about it. But the topic of today's live stream or video is exactly what the title of the thing says, that you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge that you need salvation in order to actually be saved. That's part of having faith, and I'll explain that in this video. I'm just getting the chat ready. What the? Okay, that's just weird. Oh, by the way, I now have 200 subscribers on my channel. Normally people think that or say that those are like goals. You get 100, then 200, then 300, 400, 500, then 1,000, and 1,500 or whatever, because those are, you know, nice round to 100 in before I even made videos on the Bible. And since then, my channel's grown a little bit, and it seems like it's been growing a lot lately. I think only like a month ago I had like 180 something, and so I have like 20 or so subscribers in the last month or two. And although it's not really that much for me, it's a lot. So I'm thankful that people, more and more people, are watching these videos now. Just today, there's been 3 people. I have 204 subscribers now, so that's an accomplishment, I guess. It looked like somebody was on for just a second. I don't know where it went. Another minute or so. Oh, hello. Okay, so Josue is here. All right, I'm going to get into the actual video now, explaining what the message of the video is. So basically, the topic is that exactly what the title says, acknowledging that you're a sinner is necessary for salvation. What do I mean by that? Well, in order to be saved, you need to have faith on Jesus Christ. How can you have faith on Jesus Christ if you don't even know what you're having faith for? You see, having your faith in Jesus Christ doesn't just mean you believe Jesus exists. It means trusting in him for your salvation, trusting in him to save you from hell, not trusting in your own works, but trusting in his finished work of righteousness by his death on the cross. He completely fulfilled the law for us, so we don't have to. He died on the cross when he didn't deserve it, and he did so. He shed his blood for our sins. That is what the Bible teaches. So in order to acknowledge that, the first step of preaching the gospel, and this is something that people have been doing for centuries when they go out and they preach the gospel, is teaching people that they're all sinners, that we all come short of the glory of God. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. It says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in his blood. or through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, rather, which God has set forth as a propitiation through his through faith in his blood. And it says in earlier in the same chapter in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then in Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, sinneth not. So the Bible repeatedly makes clear that we're all sinners. The verse that I want to go over, the main topic verse for this video, I guess, would be 1 John 1:8, which says, 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this video is also an attack on Christian perfectionists as well, or anybody in this, well, there's multiple movements and denominations and groups which teach the doctrine that once you're saved, you just stop sinning automatically and you'll just never sin again. Okay, these Christian perfectionists or people in the holiness movement or things like that, there are a lot of names for them, who think that you have to either repent of all your sins in order to be saved, or that you will automatically repent of all your sins. There are preachers who will literally get up and teach, well, once I got saved, I just, all my addictions to alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, I just went away and now I'm just perfect and now I just don't have any temptation of sin anymore. That's completely false, and people who teach that are false prophets and are not saved. Why? Because it says if we say that we have no sin. Now, John is writing this. John is saved, obviously. The word we means I and either the people he's talking to or somebody else is with him. So for example, there's somebody sitting next to me. If I said we, that would include me and the other person if I'm talking from both of our perspectives. I can't not include myself. So John is saved, clearly. Okay, he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says, if we have no sin, so he's acknowledging, even though he's saved, that he still has sin. We all have sin, okay? In Romans 7, Paul says, I am carnal, sold under sin. And then he explains that because the flesh is still there, he serves the law of sin with his flesh, with his members, and it's warring against his spirit. His spirit's been born again, and his spirit cannot sin. But because we still have the corruptible flesh, we still have the capability of sinning. That's the problem. However, once we die and once we are resurrected at the coming of Jesus Christ, we are given an incorruptible body that cannot sin. So that is something that we're looking forward to in the future. But currently, we still can live in sin, even if we're saved Christians. It should be our goal to try and resist that, though. So, what does the Bible say? Now, here's one thing that's important in this verse, 1 John 1:8. It says, and the truth is not. Now, that word there, very important in the Bible. Obviously, the truth just means something that's true, but the Bible calls a lot of things the truth. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is acknowledging that he is the truth, that he himself is the truth. Now, the Bible also acknowledges that the Holy Spirit is the truth. It says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak for himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then later, going back to John 14, later after Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life, it says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible teaches that once we are saved, we are given the Holy Spirit, that Christ dwells in us through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now the word earnest means a payment, a guarantee. That's what earnest means. And you can compare this with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, which says that the Holy Spirit has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now remember, Christ called himself the truth. So by faith, Christ dwells in our hearts. Or in other words, the truth dwells in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So the people he's writing to, the Corinthians, if they are true believers, okay, so that excludes the reprobates, the people who have gone beyond the hope of salvation, the people who are true believers who have actually accepted the gospel, that Jesus Christ is in them. That's what Paul is teaching here. Now it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Bible clearly teaches that if we are saved, if we have faith, that Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, also called the Spirit of Truth, dwells in us. That's what the Comforter is, the Holy Spirit, the thing that teaches our hearts, the thing that guides us as saved Christians, as believers. That's the Holy Spirit. It calls it the truth, the Spirit of Truth. And yet the Bible says that if you do not acknowledge that you have sin, if you say that you have no sin, the truth does not dwell in you. In other words, Christ doesn't dwell in you. You don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Another thing is in Josue the Homo Sapient. Okay. Anyway, another thing is in Psalm 119, verse 142. It says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. So it's not just that the Holy Spirit is truth and that Christ is truth, but also the law is truth. And this, I guess, can be compared to John 17:17, also, where Jesus says to God the Father, when he's praying to God the Father, he says, thy word is truth. Now, Jesus Christ is, that again ties in with John 14:6, because Jesus Christ is the word of God, as it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then if you go to verse 14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is, again, when he's praying to the Father, saying that thy word is truth. Now, Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. The law is truth as well, as it says in Psalm 119:142. Now, it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, this is a prophecy of the future regarding, or not the future from now, but in Ezekiel's day, this is a prophecy of what will happen under the new covenant. It says in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So this is the Lord promising that in the future, he will remove the stony heart out of the flesh, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. He'll put a spirit within you in order to cause you to walk after his judgments and after his statutes and after his law. Because remember, in 1 John 3:6, it teaches that, or 1 John 3:6 to verse 9, it says that if you have been born again, you will not sin. Obviously, that's not talking about the flesh. It's talking about the spirit. And you will know that if you compare that with Romans 7. I'm going to read Romans 7 just to kind of drill this in or make sure that this is getting, that this is clear. So Romans, I don't have my actual physical Bible with me right now, so I'm just looking up the verses, L9. Romans 7 says, starting in, I think it's verse 14, where Paul acknowledges that he is, that because of the flesh, he can still sin. It says, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. So he distinguishes between his flesh and his mind. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the new creature, the inward man, the new creature, the new man that has been reborn in the spirit. And then verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Members is just another word for body parts. Okay. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So if you compare this with Ezekiel chapter 36, God promises in verse 26 and 27 that he will put the spirit within you to cause you to walk in the statutes and keep the judgments and to do them. Or in other words, he will put the law inside of your heart. He will write the law in your heart so that you know what you're doing, so that you will actually fall after God. That's the truth. That's the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that is given to you when you are saved. Okay. But that is in the spirit. We still have the flesh, and that is still corruptible. So 1 John 1:8, if we say that you have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that's an important step. It's really the first step for salvation. Because if you don't, and just think about it, if you don't acknowledge the fact that you need a savior, then how can you accept and put your faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved? Now, okay, something happened on the comments. Come on, guys, pay attention. I've heard this stuff already. Leave. Also, I don't tell people to leave. That's not... Never mind. Whatever. Okay, just... Can't you argue somewhere else about something? Never mind. Okay, well, anyway, I think I made my point for this video. If anybody has any questions, you can say something in the chat, and maybe I can find some other verses. Hold on. Oh, yeah, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, which acknowledges that we are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. So specifically, hold on, let me just pull up the... Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we are the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. So in other words, the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. That's what it says in verse 16. So that's another important verse. And I had a list of verses also talking about the truth. So the truth is obviously a very important and widely talked about subject in the Bible. The word of God is truth. Everything that Jesus said was truth because it was what the Father commanded him to say. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you need to accept Jesus Christ in order to be saved. It says... Hold on. I just opened up a new window on accident. Quarreling about anything You're not even quarreling about anything important. You're just... Oh, well. Okay, so... I already mentioned John 17:17. John 4:24 also acknowledges that God is spirit. John 4:24 says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice how it says we must worship him. It's not, well, you just might have to worship him. No, you must worship him in spirit and truth. If you're not worshiping him in spirit and truth, you're not truly worshiping him. So if you don't worship him with the Holy Spirit, then it's nothing. You know, unsaved Catholics, people who are not saved, if they pray to God, if they worship God, says in, or Jesus says in John 9:31, actually, I don't have the verse memorized, but he does say, teach in John 9:31, and then also teaches in Psalm 66:18 that the Lord won't hear us, that the Lord won't listen to us if we pray and we hold iniquity in our heart. It says in John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And then it says in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that's another, those are some other important verses. So if anybody has any questions, you can ask now. If not, then I guess I'll end the live stream, because that's really all I had to say. I mean, it's kind of a simple teaching. And then further about the, I guess, about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit, it says in John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, like I said earlier, the Holy Ghost, which is inside of you, the Spirit of God, that guides you, that teaches you, so that you can understand and you know the truth. Doesn't look like anybody has anything to say, unless it's taking a while to load or type or whatever. So, thank you, buddy, for watching. That's it for today. I might have another live stream next week. Who knows? There'll be a few videos in the upcoming week about various topics. There'll be another commonly misunderstood day. I think I'll continue the verses to talk about, although they're kind of an infinite number of verses that people misunderstand. Whenever you have an unsaved person, you give them the Bible, they're going to misunderstand a lot of verses. And there's 50,000 verses in the Bible, so could go on for a long time. Then I'm going to do another video about just Christian history, I guess, talking about the meaning of a symbol in the Bible. Yeah. So thank you, buddy, and goodbye.